to another inspirational message from Pastors Dave and Jenny Gilpin. Dave and Jenny are the senior pastors of Hope City Church. For any more information or for any more resources, go to davegilpin.com.
Let's just remain standing for 1 second. I'm going to pray. Do you know, last week we had a leadership summit during the week, and we were in a meeting on Tuesday night. I think it was Tuesday night. Probably one of the most outstanding meetings I've ever been in my life, and I'm really old, so that says something. And just God has given me a faith for the miraculous. So if you need a miracle this morning, I want you to lift your hands to God right now. And I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that you never change. You are still today the God of the book of Acts. And Father, I pray this morning over every hand raised, whether it is physical, whether it is spiritual, whether it is financial, whether it is relational. Father, I pray that this week the miracle power of God would come and meet and touch your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Take your seats this morning. Just going to have a sip before I start, because you start to wind this old girl up and I'll be off. I noticed that I wasn't included in the Ricochet series. So obviously I'm not a Ricochet. I'm really excited about what I'm bringing this morning. It's, I believe, a real breakthrough word. The older I get, the more I realize that that is my gift. I bring breakthrough. That is my lane in the kingdom. And so I believe that God is going to move you today, and that there is a breath going to come through this place. In the end of this service, the breath of the Spirit of God is going to move us from where we've been to where God is taking us. I know in the last 10 days, God has moved me. He's moved me from a difficult place to a place of new breath. Where I know how God's speaking, what he's doing, and where he's going. Hey, that's cool. You never look behind you so you don't know what's there. This is Elam and the back of my hair. Okay, you ready? I'm just relaxing myself. So this is what I want to say before I start. I am not Colin Blois. I cannot preach with no notes. And what tends to happen with me, and this will make some of you feel comfortable about how God uses you, is that as I write, God writes through my pen or through my fingertips. And so much of what I've got written here today, I need you to hear. So, just take that there. There it is. Okay. So you can just feel the Spirit of God settling here. I'm really conscious of it. So recently in my travels, and I know you think that I live a very glamorous life because I catch so many aeroplanes. But it got to the point that I hadn't slept for about 5 days in Canada, because I came back from Australia, was home 4 days, and then flew to Canada. You think that's glamorous? Trust me, it ain't. And I never slept in Canada at all. And then I made it back to Amsterdam Airport. And for the first time in my life, I lined up for the wrong plane. I was so tired that I lined up for the... Not only did I line up for the wrong plane, I attempted to enter the wrong plane. Now, I'm not completely dumb, because it was going to Manchester. It just wasn't the airline that my ticket was for. So as I went to enter the plane, the lady said, "This is not KLM." I was very tired by that point, and I'm here, so obviously I made it back, because I thought, right, don't panic, Jen, there are plenty of planes going to Manchester, you'll be fine. But I hadn't allowed a margin of error, and we allow many margins in our lives. We allow, usually, a margin of error and we allow a margin of doubt. Anybody with me? We allow a margin of time. Let me just share with you a personal issue I have. My husband never allows a margin of time. And so if you ever see the flash of a blue car that is between here and our home, that would be because Dave is not allowed a margin of time. And so if you ever wonder why Dave and I, when we're here, we come in separate cars, because I don't want to die in that journey. So I leave on time and get here in my own old lady way, park neatly and walk in quietly, and I allow Dave to come in as a whirlwind, probably, as is true, with a ticket, which one arrived in the last week. Yes, it did. Yes. Thank you, Dave Gilpin, for that fine. We live in a margin of land. We live between where we existed in the mind of God and our promotion into eternity. Even our lives are a margin. But we are created by God to live in this extremity. The margin in our lives that only can be filled with God. We are called not to just leave a margin for doubt and a margin of time. But we are called to live a margin for God, to leave a margin for God. And this margin is the margin of miracles. And the reason why we find ourselves in a place today where there is no answer is because yet again, God has called us into the place in our life where we are meant to live the margin for God. And if you're in this place today and you've never been in church before and you're wondering why your life is empty and why you pursue so many things to fill that margin in your life, it's because there is a margin in our heart that is created only for the God of heaven to fulfill. And we try to fill our lives with so many things, from influence to great jobs to career, some to alcohol, to drugs, to so many things. And we try to fill our hearts with a margin that was only created by God to fill, and that's why it is there. And as Christians, the reason why we are constantly living in a place where we feel like we cannot fulfill what is in front of us is because that is deliberately designed by God to be the margin of miracles. Is anybody with me today? It's the margin of extremity. Our leadership can't lead it. Our organization can't structure it. Our finances cannot meet it. Our striving can't reach it. Because it is the margin of the impossible. It's the margin created by eternal design where we have to invite God into the complexity of our affairs. We have to invite God in. It's a place where we address our inability to tackle the enormity of our future. So the Israelites, they lived in this sliver of land. The Israelites had been chased down by Pharaoh and his blokes and his chariots and his horses. And they found themselves in a sliver of land. And let me read to you it from Exodus 14, verse 1 to 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to turn back and camp near between Migdol and the sea." They had a camp by the sea directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. Here the Israelites were in a spot of bother. As you find yourself today in a spot of bother, in a sliver of land followed by an army of pursuers, and faced by an impossible stretch of water right in front of them. They had been promoted by God to what I'm going to nickname the Peninsula of the Impossible. And many of us today find ourselves in the Peninsula of the Impossible, where we have Pharaoh's army behind us, there is no option of turning back. And when we have a sea in front of us, and I don't know about you, I haven't walked on the water recently. And so we are hemmed in by a past that we can't return to and a future that we don't know how to face. Anybody with me today? And we say and we cry out to God and we say, God, why have you brought me here? And he's in heaven clapping today because he's saying, finally, I've got you into peninsula, into the sliver of land where only I can move. When you need me, do you know why we wonder sometimes why we see so many miracles in underdeveloped nations? Is because they don't have another option. So they go to God first. They are in the sliver of land long before us in the Western world find ourselves there. So God has moved us as a church. He's moved us into a sliver of a land where only the impossible can move us forward. God has moved most of us. I have been in this place so much of late, and I know if I'm in it, you're in it. And so we find ourselves again in the peninsula of the impossible. God says, great, I've got exactly where I want you. Now I can get your attention, people. Now I can actually come. Now I can actually come and move in your world. Now I can do some things that go beyond your imagination. Now I can actually be the God of the impossible. Now you can see my hand move. Come on. I love that thought. When God says, finally. It's that place where we are promoted to negotiate a circumstance and a future that is impossible to fulfill. You find yourself in the place where the margin can only be fulfilled by God, who wants to show himself strong on your behalf, to a place where only his intervention will break through, where the opt-out options have dried up and the only way through is the hand of the divine. The place of miracles, where seemingly the laws of gravity and what comes next are suspended. And the God who literally holds the moon and the stars in his hands, he moves time. I pray I'm whetting your appetite this morning. And so, in this sliver of land, the Israelites couldn't back down, but they couldn't go forward. And this is what it says in Exodus 14. 13 to 15, Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. Some of you will say to me, well, I'd be very grateful, very, very grateful of that. Very, very grateful. It says, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. But then it says, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. I don't know about you. Sometimes when I read the Bible, it is full of oxymorons. Like in one breath, the Holy Spirit's saying, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. And then two sentences later, he says, move on. I don't know about you. I don't know whether God's confused. And so I started to think about, because in the last couple of weeks, I must have had four people send me that scripture. I sat in here in the leadership summit and the Holy Spirit said to me, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Then four people sent me that verse separately. I know that God is fighting for me. So they found themselves told by God to sit still and move on. And I think at times that represents to us, doesn't it, exactly how we feel when we're on the peninsula of land. What do I do? Do I fast and pray again? Do I stand on my head? Do I cast out demons? What exactly am I supposed to do in this sliver of land? Because it's already all very well for me to say, you know, all this. And you're thinking, well, could you please tell me what to do? And so I began to really think about it. This week, it's the place where faith demands we view the impossible as a viable path. And you've got to step out to step in. So God told his people to be still and then to move on in the shape of two sentences. But this is because God wants to fight your battle, but God wants you to move on. God wants to fight your battle for you. It's for God to do the fighting. It's for us to step into the future. The sea beside you is the vehicle to the destiny in front of you. I thought of a really quippy phrase, and I thought it was so cheesy I had to say it. Invest in the next while God sorts the rest. That's like one of those ones you pull out of a promise box. Invest in the next while God sorts out the rest. The battle is God's. The momentum is yours. The provision is God. The action is yours. Tell the Israelites to move on. Do not camp in the place of an attitude of defeat. Or remain in the vortex of defeatism and indecision, but make the step. Stretch out your hand and step into the new margin. We find ourselves in this peninsula of land, this sliver of time. God says, I will fight for you. I will cover your back. I will cover those that are behind you. But I don't want you just to stay there, because what happens when we've been chased long enough, we think, I'm sick of running. Can I not just camp here? And God says, no, you know what? I have so much more for you. I have so much more on destiny to unfold for your life. I have so much more blessing to give you and miracles to give you, but I can only bless a moving target. So God says, move on. Let me fight for you, but move on. Move on out from here. You have camped too long in the vortex of indecision, and a double-minded man or woman is unstable in all their ways. All their ways. Make a step, any step. Do you know, we worry about making steps. Us Christians, we are the worst. Because we are terrified of walking out of the will of God. But the fact is, if you love God enough, he loves you enough to stop you doing something stupid. He just wants to bless your steps. That was limp. I've learned something over the years. When it's quiet, when I preach, it means people are listening. Just encourage myself. I'll just encourage myself here. So in Exodus 14:21, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, And all that night, the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided. And the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them. And all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. Let's stop a minute. Did the Egyptians really think that the miracle received for God's children was going to be an avenue for them? Just saying. And then it says, during the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. Let me just say to you this morning, your miraculous is confusing and baffling to everyone looking on. Your steps of faith are confusing and battling to everyone looking on. Joe Maltby, your step of faith is confusing and baffling to those in your world that are looking on right now. But I was looking over at you this morning from the front seat, and God wants to say to you, take the step. It's a God step. You will get all sorts of baffled looks and confused whatever's coming your way. But know that this is your step to step into the next, to step into the next in Jesus' name. I don't know what that means, but I hope it's good. And then it says he jammed the wheels of their chariots so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. But now, I wonder if I could have the band up. But now, so writing this message, I'm thinking, this is great. This is great. And then the Holy Spirit stopped me in my tracks. I was hijacked by the Spirit of God. Always good. And this is what he said to me. So many people here have been living in the margin. And the Spirit of God wants to encourage you that he knows you have been there and the way through will be miraculous. But the destination will be even more wonderful. I'm reminded, this is where the breath is going to come this morning. I'm reminded in Revelation. These are the words of him who has the sharp double-edged sword. I know where you live, where Satan has his throne, yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me. I know. This is from the Spirit of God. You have stood and you continue to stand. And I know you have stepped out and continue to step out. And I am bringing you to a new place of breath, of reward, of a whisper, and a wind from heaven. And when the Israelites came through the Red Sea, they sang to the Lord, and there's this amazing verse in Exodus 15:27, and it says this. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. Elim means a strong place. 12 signifies fullness. And 70 signifies perfect spiritual order. I felt a breath coming. A strong tree place. Where there is fullness, perfect spiritual order. I felt that the battle has been waged and waged on multiple fronts and waged well. And now the breath of God's Spirit comes through and we find ourselves in the place of Elam. Strong trees, new authority, new ground. This is the new now. You can't live in battle mode when God has moved on. This is a place where there is not just enough for sustenance, but there is more than enough, and it's bountiful. There is not one spring, but there is 12. You don't need 12. There is not one palm tree, there is 70. Even Colin's pale skin doesn't need that much shade. 70. This is multiple places and connections of shade. Multiple places and connections in your life of shade. And multiple sources and abundance of provision. This is Elam.